We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's got to be not the biggest story of the year. It's one of the biggest scoops that I've seen in sports in my time, that Coach K is retiring after this year, and he is graciously joining us now. Even though he's a busy man, Goodman, that is a super scoop, dude. Congrats.
Thank you. You need some luck. You need some luck in whatever you do. And yesterday was nuts because obviously in the morning, you know, another story broke that was probably closer to home for me. And, you know, Danny Ainge stepping down, which was not a surprise, really. But the shocker here in Boston was obviously Brad Stevens going from head coach to now taking Danny Ainge's spot. So I was kind of trying to take all that in, Bill. And then I'm trying to work on this Coach K thing that had kind of been bubbling for the last couple weeks, but was kind of coming to a head yesterday.
Little inside baseball for those of you listening. The world of scoopage with which Jeff Goodman competes and often wins is very competitive. Small group of people, not what I do. And there are some, and I'm not judging anybody, I'm not saying names, but there are some big newsbreakers who will confirm things, right? You know, Sam Amick, who's a great guy, will confirm something. But some folks philosophically just don't believe in doing that, and that's fine, right? Just if a story gets broken by someone else, they move on to other stuff. And I'm not even going to say who, but people who don't confirm stories, and I've never seen confirmed stories, had to confirm that one. It was so big, Jeff Goodman. And I would imagine that probably brought you a little bit of joy as well. Just the resounding victory over colleagues that I'm surely you like and respect, but that you're competing with all the time.
You know what the best part of my day was, honestly, at night, going on with Scott Minpelt, who I hadn't done that with since I left ESPN 3 years ago. And, you know, a guy that helped me get the job at ESPN, helped my career immensely. And just going on with him and just shooting the you know what, because that's what we do. Like, Scott Minpelt is, to me, one of the best human beings on the planet, not just his business.
I don't know him at all, is he? That's great to hear. I don't know him. I mean, he's great. He's talented.
Awesome. He is super talented. Like, he's the guy that I actually credit with getting out of my own way on TV, because I remember being on with him like my third year at ESPN. I was horrible my first few years, and I'm still not good. But I was on with him, and he stumbled on a couple things and just kind of laughed at himself. And I was like, all right, if he can suck and just make fun of himself, like, why would I worry about anything I say? You know, like, that's the hardest part. It's like getting past that last play, right? Like, when you're playing a game, that's how I was the first couple of years on TV. Like, any slip up, even if it was minor, like, I couldn't get past it. And then when I saw that, I was just like, all right, this dude, he gets it. And I can't take myself seriously anymore. I'm just going to have fun.
That's funny, because one of my favorite moments, I think, in my career was a Van Pelt moment. I was at a Lakers game. I was with a TV crew. This is a few years ago. Whatever, things were going well. I think I just renewed a deal, and I just, you know, felt really lucky, really blessed, really fortunate. And Jim Rome, is, you know, you and I have discussed, was the reason, right? Like, I was on that TV show, sure, and it changed my career. And I look up at Staples Center. It's halftime, and I go back to get a coffee or something, and there you are on ESPN. And I go back to, oh my God, that dude and I didn't know each other at the time. Sat in that room, we're so nervous. Remember a guy named Dave Whalen, who's a great producer, came in and like prepped us. And look,
we were freaking out.
Oh.
Freaking out.
And then I met Courtney Cox that night.
You did. It was a big day for you.
God.
You, listen,
we
that
vibe
might
too.
Have been the start of your career. I think I might be able to take credit for launching your career.
You did. You also lie about Dwight Howard takes, but that's okay. That's okay.
Listen,
I like
the,
yeah.
Dwight Howard could win, who knows, maybe he wins another title. Maybe you're going to be right about the rise of Dwight Howard and how he wasn't, you know, I don't know. We need the tape. You say you're going to find the tape. I still claim you were pro-Dwight Howard. I've been anti-Dwight Howard since he kind of got in the league, but we need the tape to prove it.
Jeff Goodman, true about everything but this, and everyone has to have one lie that they cling to. So it's interesting. The Coach K thing I find, I've always found this moment, Jeff Goodman from Stadium, so fascinating, not just because of the hole that it's going to leave, but because that's a program that he built, right? It's not something that has a tradition separate from him. It's not a place, with all respect, to say Bill Self, right? Kansas is probably going to be okay when Bill Self moves on.
Roy Williams.
Great example. And this is not, I want to get into his replacement, but aside from that, to what degree do you think that program, his replacement, that person's replacement someday, is likely to be able to continue without Coach K, the guy who built this thing?
I think it's going to be awfully difficult. You know, again, they built it to now where you put Duke and North Carolina kind of synonymously, but that's K who built it. Like you said, you know, Dean, Roy Williams, like multiple people have done it at Carolina, at Kentucky, at Kansas, even at, you know, UCLA. Like this is it. It's all Coach K. It's like Syracuse with Boeheim. Like, that's it. Those names are always going to be synonymous with that program. So I think it's going to be very difficult. But as I told Van Pelt last night, my daughter, Talia, is a junior, just finishing her junior year at high school. I think if you put her in charge of Duke, she'd still be able to get into the NCAA tournament.
How is this guy? Tell me about the person who steps into some of the largest shoes in college basketball, and really in sports.
So it's crazy. So I broke John Shire's commitment to Duke. How about that?
Wow.
That's how old I am. Yeah. I mean, I did recruiting. That's how I came up. I knew John Shire very, very well in his family coming out of Glenbrook North High School in the suburbs of Chicago. John Shire is a guy that probably should still be playing professional basketball if not for an eye injury when he was playing overseas that ended his career. So he came back, wasn't able to play anymore, ended up, Coach K gave him a job first. It wasn't as an assistant. I forget what the title was, but he wasn't recruiting. And then there's some movement in the staff. You know, Chris Collins gets a job, Northwestern. Wojo gets a job at Marquette. All right, let's promote him. And Shire's been on the fast track. And he's been with him, I think, what, 6-7 years? And he's going to have a brutally difficult task, and he knows that. I mean, he's not stupid. Everybody knows that. I mean, the crazy part is, Bill, the timing of all this. John Shire wasn't even in the equation a year or two ago to take over. You know, go down the list. Steve Wojciechowski is absolutely Coach K's favorite son. Well, he's out of a job right now. He just got fired at Marquette, okay? Jeff Capel was on the bench a couple of years ago. People thought he'd be the next guy. And if he had stayed, probably would have been. Instead, he goes to Pittsburgh. He's not having success. Chris Collins, remember not too long ago, Northwestern. He takes him to the dance finally. Well, they've been brutal the last couple of years. Johnny Dawkins has been okay, but was fired at Stanford, went to UCF. He's been okay at UCF, but, you know, very mediocre. Tommy Amaker, I don't even think he'd take it if they wanted him. So I'm going through it and trying to tell you, within the family, there's not a lot of guys that stood out. Same thing with North Carolina. There's a reason they were choosing between Wes Miller at UNC Greensboro, and they went with Hubert Davis, the now, you know, long-time assistant, former player. They tabbed him. Like, those two programs didn't have a ton of, like, oh, that's the easy pick. So they went with two assistant coaches. Crazy.
It really is. Jeff Goodman on the show. And, Jeff, one of the things that I laugh about are folks, well, let's just go get Brad Stevens. Breaking news, Brad Stevens is now the president. Is he the president of basketball operations?
He's just the czar of the Celtics.
I mean, right, he's in charge.
He can do whatever he wants.
So, look, I think he's a great coach, and I thought the notion that he should be fired was silly.
Yep.
But I certainly did not anticipate.
None.
And clearly Danny Ainge was under some pressure. Let's start here. I find it – so I told the story yesterday. When I was – you know how reporting works. You have to call, well, maybe you've gotten to the point, but I have to call sources. Even people that really like me, they don't call me unsolicited to just be like, here's stuff you need to know. I need to check in, right? Make the rounds. You know how it is. And I'll never forget.
Me too. Of course you have to.
You know how it is.
People aren't, I'm not Woj. People aren't calling. I mean, some, but like most people, you got to call them.
So many years ago when Stevens got the job, it was sort of a shocker. I sent off a bunch of texts like, hey, I'm gonna try to catch up with you. I want to talk to you about Brad Stevens. And a head coach in the NBA, a super successful head coach in the NBA, one of the good, you know how this works, and a good guy, not a hater, not everybody, that's not true for everybody, called me unsolicited. I'll never forget. I was pulling to the Fox lot. I was supposed to be on TV. This guy had never called me before. I had called him, and he'd taken calls. I pulled over right before the security in the sort of middle with all the Uber drivers, and this guy spent 25 minutes telling me why Brad Stevens was going to fail. And he was, Brad's a nice guy, but it's a big jump, and he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, walk me, and it wasn't haterade. It was just, I mean, Brad Stevens is such an outsider in that world, right? How he got there. I'm amazed he has this job. So all of that to say this, what is your confidence level, because I don't know how to assess this, in his ability to do a very different job now?
I just got off the phone with Danny Ainge, actually, a little while ago. And you know, listen, one part of me, Bill, says, and I've known Brad for 20 years now. Like, I knew him when he was assistant at Butler. One part of me says, this dude is so smart, so organized, so well-liked. He's going to figure this thing out. He's going to be really, really, really good at it. Because I think he was really good in coaching the Celtics up until the last year, year and a half. Right? Wouldn't you agree? Like,
absolutely.
The season took to the Eastern Conference Finals. Isaiah Thomas was their best player.
I think he's a great coach. You would know better than me. I'm not. It's one of the organizations I'm least connected with. I don't know what's happened in the last couple seasons. I don't know if Kyrie was a problem, but I agree. I think Stevens is a great coach.
It ran its course. That's what I say. Like, it just ran its course, and there needed to be a big change. And it's easier to make a big change with a coach than it is with a player. You know, Tatum's untradeable. He'll be an MVP candidate in a year or two. I love Jaylen Brown. He's gotten much better. You're not trading him unless, to me, it's for like Bradley Beal, something like that. So anyway, so one part of me says I think Stevens is going to be fantastic because he's got also the relationships with college coaches that he'll get the real scoop on these players. Unlike a lot of NBA guys that call Bill Self or whoever, whether it's Kay, you know, whoever it is, a lot of these guys aren't getting the real deal. Like Jalen Johnson is a good example. Jalen Johnson left Duke mid-year this year, freshman. Well, like Coach K is not going to kill Jalen Johnson to some dude that he doesn't know, an NBA general manager that he doesn't know well. Well, he knows Brad Stevens well. He's going to shoot him straight on Jalen Johnson or anybody else coming out of the Duke program. So Brad's going to have an advantage there over a lot of people in his position. The part that scares me, Bill, and I don't know if anybody, I don't know if you've thought of this, I don't know if anybody's thought of this. Brad Stevens is too nice a guy. Can he play the GM role? Part of the reason Danny Ainge was so good at being a GM was because he knew how to work people, right? Like, a lot of it is trading. And, like, people killed Danny because they said, well, he tried to trade Kemba when Kemba was already hurt with a knee injury. Well, like, that's business. Like, I would try to do it too if I was a GM. Is Brad that type? Or is Brad, who I think is like the nicest human being in the world, is he too honest? Is he capable of trying to take somebody to the woodshed in a trade?
He better be. I mean, that's...
I know. Agreed.
That's part of the deal. Jeff Goodman... here on the program, basketball insider, college and NBA for Stadium, broke the Coach K story based in Boston, very connected with the Celtics. Do you have any – I'm really interested in this too because I am fascinated, Jeff, by people that are impressive who see the world from a different perspective, right, who came up in a different way. And that's Brad Stevens. I mean, that is a unique journey that he has been on. Not singular, but certainly unique. He's going to see things a little differently. Do you have any sense of, or just a guess on who you think he's going to name head coach in his place?
The name I threw out there yesterday that I think he should go after, and I'm not sure he'd take it. In fact, it's probably less than 50%, is Juwan Howard, who I criticized, by the way, when he got hired at Michigan.
I did too. I was wrong on that.
I just don't think the NBA to college with $100 million in your bank account is usually successful.
But it's not.
But Juwan Howard has worked his butt off. He's had great success at Michigan. He's recruited at the highest level you could possibly recruit at. And I think Juwan Howard is a guy. I talked to Spo a little bit and Udonis Haslam when he was in the tournament, and they both rave about his work ethic. Everybody does. And I think you need, if you're the Boston Celtics, you need somebody that can come in and figure out how to get Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the same page, playing with a little bit more intensity maybe. And I think Juwan Howard is the type of guy who played 20 years in the league. He's done it now as a head coach at Michigan at a high level. You know, you can look at the Chauncey Billups's, certainly, but he hasn't been a head coach anywhere. He's only been assistant for a year here. You know, Lloyd Pierce is a name we hear about. And obviously things went sideways with him in Atlanta because of his relationship with Trae Young. So I think it's got to be somebody like that. The name Kara Lawson is coming out a lot here in Boston with people. Kara actually was as good to me as anybody at ESPN when I jumped in. First game I ever did, I worked with her, LSU-UMass. And she's the Duke women's head coach, and she was with the Celtics for a year before that. I just think you probably need somebody who's played in the NBA, you know, who's probably been a head coach and called some plays. Kara has not really, she hasn't coached at Duke yet. They haven't played any games.
Jeff Goodman on the program. Jeff, last one. I could talk to you for an hour, but last one for you. If the Nets win an NBA championship this year or next year, which seems reasonable, I don't personally think it's going to happen, though it's feeling more.
Who's going to beat them this year, Bill? Who's going to beat them now?
I think Milwaukee can beat them. I think Milwaukee can beat them. Yeah, that's the team. That's the team. Yeah. Right. Or here's the other thing, Jeff, and I mean, a GM told me this. You know how some sources like make these predictions and then you realize over the years that they always know what they're talking about and those are the ones you have to take seriously? One of those guys for me told me 6 or 7 weeks ago, I've been saying this on the radio for 7 weeks, he's like, it's a landmine of injuries. People don't understand. They're going to come up nonstop throughout the playoffs, and it's going to be overwhelming. And that's been true. And I, the first team I thought when he told me this was the Nets, and I'm not wishing this on them, but given everything we've seen, would you really be shocked if one of these or two of these guys get hurt between now and July? I wouldn't. I just...
No, I mean, Kyrie's knees, you always worry about. KD's just, you know, one after the other.
And even Harden got hurt this year.
It's funny. Does Harden look heavier?
Yes.
To you?
Yes.
Like significantly heavier right now and slower?
Yeah, but he's so effective that I'm trying to decide if it's just my personal doubt coloring what I'm seeing. Because I am a doubter of the Nets.
I am too. Listen, I'm not a Kyrie fan. As far as off the court stuff, I'm not really a Kyrie fan. On the court, he's a special offensive talent. Now, defensively, he can be a train wreck. If you can finish your thought, I assume you were going to say if the Nets win the title, what does it say?
How do you assess that Danny Ainge Nets trade that at the time felt like the greatest ripoff in the history of the NBA? Is that a failure by Danny Ainge? Is his tenure tainted if that Nets team wins an NBA champ? You go back in time, right? If that Nets team wins an NBA championship post-trade before the Celtics or makes one.
Well, the only reason it's going to hurt Danny Ainge is because of Kyrie, right? Because the Kyrie thing didn't work out in Boston. And I still say, if you go back, the biggest factor involved in all that was Gordon Hayward getting hurt right away. That changed everything. That changed everything because it changed the dynamic and the pecking order at that point, right? Then you had Jason Tatum coming quicker. And then Kyrie got hurt too. You had Jaylen Brown coming quicker. And then when those guys came back, Kyrie and Hayward, well, Tatum and Jaylen are like, we don't want to go back to what we were. We proved we're way better than that. So, like, the dynamic just wasn't there. And Kyrie, we know, like, there's nothing in Kyrie that says leader. And he thought he could be a leader. So that locker room just wasn't what it needed to be. So I guess... Yeah, I mean, listen, Danny Ainge did a good job. You know, he won one title here as GM, kept them competitive, made some good trades, made some good picks, made some bad picks. So I think, you know, he's beloved here in Boston. I'm happy for him. I just told him that, you know, 62 years old, go play some golf, spend some more time with your grandkids. You know, his oldest daughter is telling me in San Diego. He'll visit. He'll go to Utah. He'll go to San Diego. He'll stay here in Boston. He really said, he's like, I haven't figured out what we're going to do yet for, like, long term. I would not be shocked, Bill, if he's a consultant with somebody, a Jerry West type role with the Clippers, like maybe with the Utah Jazz, something like that, my minority owner. He'll stay involved in some capacity because he's not the type that can do nothing. He's still only 62.
Jeff Goodman, I'm way over time because you are excellent. Congrats on the huge scoop. You are great, and I look forward to at some point actually seeing you in person again.
Yeah, we got to do that. We got to do that soon. Love you, man, and hope all is well with you and your family. We'll talk soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.